Hi, everybody. This is Perez Burke, Ben Rav Tuvia Levi, meaning, value, and purpose. That is what we're here for. At least that's what we hope we're here for. I just spoke to a very well-known professor who's written a novel based on a personal experience that he had with a person that was very distant from authentic Yiddishkeit, but came to a lecture based on the topic, which was life, its meaning, value, and purpose. Now, the fact that anybody showed up to even care about that was pretty amazing. Most people were just kind of wrapped up in, okay, how am I paying the mortgage, getting the car payments, insurance payments done? Where am I taking my next vacation? Should I get a Lexus or an Acura? I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do, but it's not exactly the meaning and purpose of life. I don't think anybody ever wrote on their matzeva, in their tombstone, here lies Harry Ziegenfleischeldorf, he lived in the Riviera half of the year, and then in Southern California for one part of the year, and then traveled the world the rest of the year, and drove a Rolls, a Mercedes, and a Bentley. I never really saw that, and I never saw anybody with a picture of the Rolls or Bentley, or them sitting in it. Most people do believe that there is purpose and meaning and value. Many also don't want anybody else telling them what that meaning, value, and purpose should be. However, nonetheless, many people, if you really press them, say, yeah, I think it's important, a meaning, value, and purpose in life. I just don't want you to tell me, you know, what it is. And, of course, if somebody thinks that the meaning, value, and purpose of life is just to acquire as many toys, as much money as you can, they may be in, and in fact will be in, for a rude awakening once they awake after they checked out and the Olam Emes, the world of truth, they are presented with what they were supposed to be doing, and that's the greatest pain if a person did not accomplish that. So we hope that we're not going to be among those that didn't accomplish what we put here for. One of the ways to do that as members of the Jewish community is to think about who we are, what our purpose is, and the value, meaning, and purpose of life. Anyway, I was speaking to this professor about it, and he told me that he was giving this course, and it was for a very well-known group called Archim in Eretz Israel. So the people who showed up were already predisposed, had an inclination toward it, but one fellow, when he arrived, he said, oh, I didn't know this was going to be about meaning and value and purpose of life. And when he was asked the question, so what do you think it is? He said, I don't know, I didn't prepare for it, I didn't know that's what the subject was. So the professor looked at him and said, you're 50-something years old. You mean in 50 years you haven't thought about what the meaning, value, and purpose of your life is, and you're not prepared? And the guy was kind of caught off guard. Like, some of us just wait until a certain point of time where it's like pretty close to checkout time, and then we start thinking about like that. Or as somebody once said, is that all there is? Is that all there is? Well, maybe there's more. We'd like to find out about that. At any rate, I'm really getting to another important point here, which is that today is the Yahrzeit, the day of the death of the renowned Gaon, the extraordinary Torah figure, a towering Torah figure, who I had the privilege of meeting. His name was and is Rabbi Avigdor Miller, Zeichet Tzadik Livracha. He was a Rav in Flatbush, and his Torah went out to the whole world, and he called it like it is, and didn't pull any punches. I'll give you a good example, which is what I wanted to share with us today. He didn't say a person shouldn't pursue happiness, but a person has to know your life is not about the pursuit of happiness, it's achieving it through what the Mesillas Yesharim tells us is the greatest happiness, which is that Hashem gave us the Torah and its mitzvahs to be able to accomplish joy and authentic joy in this world. And he said, one of the ways to do that is to express gratitude for everything, things that we think about or don't think about. Like somebody was telling me, you know, they knew somebody that didn't have eyebrows, a young woman who had a certain disease. She had a malady. She did not have eyebrows. And I think it was a famous rabbi in the Five Towns. And Rabbi Gladstein, Sozan Gesund. He was talking about tattoos and how they're not permitted by Jewish law. However, there was a question about a certain type of micropigmentation in which one of the layers of the skin is penetrated but doesn't go all the way in the way a tattoo would. Anyway, he was talking about this person that did not have eyebrows, and cosmetically she was able to go through this procedure of micropigmentation, which would look like she had eyebrows, and well, in fact, that was halakhically permitted. But the point is, if you have eyebrows, you should be grateful for them, because they protect water and other objects from falling into our eyes, and we just take them for granted like so many other things. And the point that I want to get across today is that Rabbi Avigdor Miller, who itemizes throughout his drushes and throughout his long and productive life about exercises that we should and can do in terms of being grateful for things that we have. And this particular thought was precipitated by something that I read in a commentary about Rabbi Chaim Kineski, Zagatzarka Bracha, who at the time of this recording has passed away just a few short months ago, and his loss in the world is being felt more and more each day. But his writings and his teachings, and that which he personified in his own life, which represented the epitome of meaning, value, and purpose in life, he talked about many things that occurred with people who come to him to ask for brachas, for blessings, for a wide variety of things, from having children to health to being cured from a particular malady to having success in business. It ran the gamut from A to Z, and whatever you could think about off the tuff in the needs that people had, and they would come to him for blessings. And because he was such an elevated person who was careful about his speech and what he said, so his speech, his dibur, his tefillahs carried so much weight. There was one particular person who was complaining that they had lost their hearing, and it was very difficult for them. And Reb Chaim, Zeket Tzadok LeBracha, has suggested that person study the chapter in the Gemara in Yevamos called Cheresh, which means a deaf mute. And by studying that, he would somehow be able to elevate his ability to hear, even though he could not hear at that moment. A cheresh is somebody who cannot speak or hear, a deaf mute, lo aleinu. And anybody who's ever had their ears clogged with wax and temporarily cannot hear knows the relief they have when they go through a procedure and they can hear. Or somebody who has a hearing aid that now gives them the ability to hear. It's a gift. We should never take it for granted, as we should not take any other gift that Hashem gives us for granted. But my point here and now, as if it didn't take me long enough to get to it, is that Rabbi Avigdor Miller's Yahrzeit, which is today, is a very fitting time to start thinking more about the senses that Hashem has given us and coming to our senses and recognizing, acknowledging, and thanking Hashem for it and adding meaning and value and purpose to our lives by being aware, by having a higher level of cognition of these things and putting it into practice. So in the second Shiur Shari Tshuva, Rabbi Avigdor Miller says, and this is really providential because I found it today, and it's in Parshas Tetzaveh, which is a while back, but I had it here, and actually it's titled A Career of Listening. So it's a double entendre, A Career of Listening, and we're talking about listening, and you're listening to this as I'm listening to me saying it over to you. So in the second Shiur Shari Tshuva, Simon Yud Beis 12, Rabbi Yona, explains that the ears, the ability to hear, is one of the greatest gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. You know, we're accustomed, says Rabbi Miller, to thinking that this is how it's supposed to be. We were born with ears. As I heard somebody say, well, the reason they never improved, because they said, well, I was born that way, I figured that's good enough. Well, okay, you were born with ears, and hopefully, unless you're Vincent van Gogh, God forbid, one day you're going to die with ears, both of them. They're always functioning, and I've heard from audiologists and other professionals who work with a hearing impaired that a person's ears don't shut down. A person may close their eyes at night, and they're not seeing, but a person's ears are always functioning and therefore are always hearing in the mode of hearing. And we really don't think about that at all. Many people might go their whole lives without thanking Hashem once for their ears. So let me just say, now hear this, as they used to say in the Navy on a boat during an important announcement. Now hear this, now hear this. Okay, but actually, the ears are a great form of happiness. Now, how are our ears a great form of happiness. So, and this is Rabbi Miller's Lashon, he doesn't use the word fun readily for no reason. He says, it's fun to be able to hear sounds. Hearing is an important part of our existence. Now, you know, somebody who works in radio, as I do in broadcasting, and I really enjoy the concept of theater of the mind. You know, when Stan Freberg, who was a tremendous, tremendously talented radio producer when I was younger, and I guess when he was younger then also, but he used to do these commercials, and where you would envision whatever he was talking about, you could see it. He called it theater of the mind. And I think he must remark that he preferred radio, even though it says eno shmia l'ria, that hearing doesn't compare to seeing. But when you see in your mind, let's say, for example, a commercial where a little baby is crying, and you hear that little baby. Everybody pictures a baby that they know or love or has held or coddled or cuddled. And that has more of an impact on a person's decision what they're going to do after they hear that commercial, unless they see a beautiful, delightful, curly-haired, little blue-eyed or brown-eyed baby. Remember Paul Robeson, screenwriting personality who I'm in touch with, told me that he was very moved when he was younger when he heard this song, My Curly-Haired Little Baby. And it's really heartrending when you hear this song by Paul Robeson, who was a tremendous operatic singer and a poet and an actor. And when he sings this song with just simple lyrics, my curly-haired little baby, you can be sure everybody sees some curly-haired little baby. If they would have shown the curly-haired little baby that he had in mind, they may not relate to it in the same way that imagining their own curly-haired little baby relates to them, and about the impact that this father's or grandfather singing this song has on the person that's listening to it. It just makes you relate to the beauty of giving over a lullaby to a little baby. It's touching. And if you hear it, I think it's more touching than even if you would have seen it. At any rate, we live by means of hearing. It's really our lifeblood. Without it, a person is missing so much fun, says Rabbi Miller, so much of life that it's almost as if he was dead. It's a terrible tragedy not to be able to hear. And if you learned a little bit more, so you know that when you damage another person, you got to pay him the value you decreased. Ayin tachas ayin, an eye for an eye, means that if somebody, chalila, God forbid, disables fellow Jew's eyes, so he's liable to pay for the monetary value of that man's eyes. It's a Gemara in Baba Kama. But it says here that, hirsho, nosein lo deme kulo. If you make a man deaf, you have to pay the value of that person's entire self. Now hear this. And that's because the deaf man is like he stopped existing entirely. Our ears are, to put it mildly, very valuable. Only that hearing is such a subtle gift that we forget about it. I don't want to say ear today, gone tomorrow, but I mean, some people are only happy when they buy a pair of earphones and they can walk someplace and listen to whatever device is your device of choice that you're listening to, that time that you can hear through your earphones. A little machinka with headphones. Ooh, wow, now that's fun, says Rabbi Miller. And then he was talking about, you know, the Walkmans. Now we've got Runmans, and we've got USB players, and Wi-Fi, and wireless, and, yeah, I mean, you can hear it coming at you from all sides, and nobody else can hear it except you. If they can listen to a person talk with an artificial set of ears, then it's fun time, says Rabbi Miller, that they enjoy. But to be happy with their original earphones, that they never thought about. The original earphones made out of cartilage attached to both sides of our head, Bez Hashem. Did you ever see a person who's missing one ear? Well, Rabbi Miller did. He knew a man who, in Manhattan, a very successful man, who was missing one ear. Whenever he's in a picture, he makes shorts with his profile, the one that doesn't show the side where his ear is missing, to make sure you don't see the other side of him. Now, if he could get back that ear, how happy he would be, how grateful he would be to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, how wealthy would he imagine himself? A millionaire, a billionaire, a trillionaire? To have that ear back, to be able to hear fully, to hear a concert, to hear a beautiful concerto, whatever that might be, a beautiful music, hopefully Jewish music, but to hear words of Torah, to hear the sound of his grandchild cooing or calling him Zadie or Grandpa the first time, a woman who regained her hearing, hearing that little baby say, Mommy, Daddy, Tati, Zadie, Bubby, or just calling your name. Imagine that. How much would you give for that? That person is indeed a very wealthy man. And this person who had the money would have given away just about anything from his money to get his ear back. And here, no pun intended, we are. Most of us walking around with two working ears. Did we ever stop to think about that? Take hold of your ear. Hold the lobe of your ear and think about that. Hold on to your ear and say, thank you, Hashem. Thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, Rabbi Miller says, probably not the best idea to do it when your wife or your husband is around, only because they might say, like, what? Why? What are you doing? Who knows what they might think or say? I mean, you know, hopefully they're at that level also, but you don't want to get somebody wondering, like, you know, what are you holding on to your ear for? Make sure to do it once in a while. Ah, my ear, what a chesed it is to have two ears. And remember Richard III? Horse, horse, my kingdom for a horse. Forget about the horse. Be happy that you got two ears. And the chesed is even greater than you imagine, because the ear isn't just an earphone, a piece of plastic with some wires. The ear is a compendium of miracles, a staggering complexity, says Rabbi Miller. What the process of bearing, of hearing involves, what the process of hearing involves, is even today not understood, even by the greatest scientists. Ah, the ear, such a complicated piece of machinery. The ear is the receiver for sound waves. And the sound waves come towards the eardrum. It also hits the outside part of the ear. The ear is made like a funnel. I'm sure you noticed that. It gathers together the sound waves and funnels them into the hole where the eardrum is. Now, a doctor once told Rabbi Miller that most physicians never even saw an eardrum. They go through the motion of looking into your ears, he said. But most physicians never saw an eardrum. The drum is less than a tenth of a millimeter thick, but it's composed of three separate layers, and it's especially constructed so that it should produce no after vibrations that would blur the sound. An ingenious system of bone levers connected to the eardrums magnify the sound waves that beat against the eardrums. Three tiny bones that are connected to each other, and they miraculously magnify the movement of the waves so that when it finally pushes against the liquid in the inner ear, it creates a wave of motion that excites the 30,000 or so nerve endings that project into the liquid, and according to the force of the movement, so is the volume of the sound. Now, Rabbi Miller says, don't laugh. I mean, there's a time for laughing also, but don't laugh about this because it's really serious. And the truth is that it's not only hearing. What else do we need our ears for? You need it for walking too. You're walking across the street. Did you hear that car come? You learn how to walk when you're a child. And once you learn, it seems so easy, but you should know that you're a trapeze artist when you walk. See, what was it that the trapeze artist, what were the two notes he was most cognizant of? Right? C sharp or B flat? Well, it takes a lot of work to balance yourself. And how do you do it so easily? It's because you have it in your ears. Your equilibrium comes from your inside ear. In each ear, a bed of nerves. There are nerves sticking up out of the bed of that little chamber in your ear. On top of that chamber of nerves is a stone, a loose stone. And when you move your head a little bit, the stone moves and it tickles those nerves, and the nerves warn you, straighten up! Both ears have that, both of them. There's an ear stone in each ear. Now, I realize I'm simplifying it, but this is basically the scientific breakdown. There's a little chamber in your ear, and on the floor of the chamber, there are nerves sticking up out of the floor, and there's a stone lying on those nerves. And the stone is loose. And as you're moving, just like this, walking back and forth, running, standing in place, walking or up and down stairs, they tickle the wrong nerve. Whoop, straighten up, get back on balance. And you do it automatically. It's a gyroscope, as it were. And it's Nisi Nisim, Nisi Nisim, miracle of miracles. Rabbi says in his own little way, hey, yours are so much fun. They're fun. You hear that? Now go and tell all this to unthinking people outside. I mean, have you flipped your gondola? They might laugh at you and they'll ask you what Rabbi Miller spoke about and what did he speak about today? And you tell them that we spoke about ears. You think they'll understand? That means you got to just not hear it. You got to dehear it. You got to internalize the hearing. But what that means is that somebody who doesn't react in a way that they're impressed by this, well, could be they're not living up to the will of the Rabbani Shalom. Our job is that we got to start living up to that. It says, Kol Atzmosai Tamarna. All my parts should praise you, Hashem. Each part speaks up separately and says, Hashem mi kamocha, Hashem who is like you. It says in Tehillim, in Lamed Hey, Pasuk 10. That's how we have to live. We've got to spend time in this very important function of feeling gratitude to Hashem for each detail. Now, even if we came by this recording and or opened up one of Rabbi Miller's Sforum, and if you came and you just happened to hear this, or you just tuned in to hear this, it means it's worthwhile because we have to give ourselves a cheshbon, a spiritual accounting to ourselves. When is the last time that we thought about thanking Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the ability to hear? You know that some people never even thought about it. I can tell you until I looked at this, I didn't look upon it with the seriousness as I'm giving it now, as I'm saying it over to all of us and to myself. Very many people never thought about that once, about the great gift of two ears. So at least what we learned just now together is that we have to engender a feeling of gratitude for the ability to hear. And even if years may pass by before we actually appreciate it, it's worth all the effort that we put into it. And then, at some point, we should continue talking more about the ear. There's a lot more to hear on that. But we'll hold it right here, my dear friends. Thank you for joining, and thank you so much for listening. You can reach me at eichlermedia@gmail.com to hear more or to say something over that others might be interested in hearing. Always glad to hear from you. Peretz Baruch Ben Rav Tovia Levi, and that's Eichler Media, eichlermedia@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.